Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Well, if you have your Bible today, open it up to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24. The last two weekends, we talked about break old habits, build new. Next weekend, we start a four-week campaign on don't limit God. Don't limit God. But right in between the two, I believe I have a right now word for you today. And let me just say right up front, you might see me drink some hot tea and this, that, and the other. You might hear me just kind of cough a little bit. We have plenty of doctors and nurses here to help us out. I have no fever. I have no symptoms. Seriously, only thing I'm contagious is the anointing, okay? And no sore throat. Seriously, it's just, you know, I don't know why. Last weekend, this weekend, my voice just tries to take off. No pain, no soreness, no nothing. So if I take a sip, it's tea, okay? And y'all pray for me, amen. All right, sure do love you. Praise God. This is our year, everybody. So Joshua 24, I love the book of Joshua. Joshua 24, chapter 24. We're going to read a few verses. Before we do, let me set it up. Why would you talk about this today, Pastor? Because I believe it's time for us to stand up and be strong and speak out as believers like never before. Dr. King did it. I think we need to do it as well. Amen. And so it's time to draw a line in the sand. It's time to make a difference with our life. It's time to claim our family for God. It's time to say enough is enough to the enemy, the devil. That's our enemy. It's not people. People are not our enemy, but the devil is our enemy. He's our adversary. Our fight is not with people, right? Not with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare that we're in. But Joshua, you know, Moses died off. Joshua was the next leader. Joshua took that next generation into the promised land. Everyone say promised land. That's where all the promises land, right there. Canaan land is a type and shadow, a metaphor of the promised land. How does that work for us? Well, the Bible is full of 7,000 promises. Did you know that? The Bible has 7,000 promises. So Canaan land, the promised land, in the book of Joshua, is a type and shadow of all the promises God's made to you and me. We're to claim them and make them ours. Can I have an amen? Amen. Got to claim it, amen? You got to possess your possessions. They don't fall in our lap. We have to fight the good fight of faith. In front of every promise is a problem. In front of every promise is a giant, right? The giants were in the land. Pastor, you know, all hell is coming against me. What does that mean? That means you are in the promised land because that's where the giants are. So I want to encourage you today on that. So anyway, they go in, they possess the land, they conquer Jericho, they go in, they divide up the inheritance to all the different tribes and families. They're in there for like 30 years. And now Joshua is about to die. And there's going to be a new era on the scene. But before he does, he challenges the church or the flock or the nation of Israel, the people he's led for all these years in the promised land. He's challenging them before he passes away. He's asking them to evaluate their life, to be honest and open and make a choice. I think you and I are there right now. I think it's important that we realize we have the privilege of choice. Yes. Privilege of choice. God doesn't force us to serve him. And we have the power of choice. Because our choices that we make in our family affect our family. So what he's doing here is he's saying to them, to those people, which is a type and shadow of us Christians today, he's saying, you know, we've been in the land of promise, and there are all of these enemy tribes that are still in the land, that culture. You've picked up part of their culture during this time, small gods, little idols, and he's telling them, who are you going to serve, God or the world? God or the culture of the world? Who are you going to serve? So with that in mind, let's pick it up in Joshua. Guys, have it on the screen, please. 24, verse 14. We're going to read through verse 18 in the New International Version. Now, fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods. Notice the word gods has a small g. That means idols, little gods that we've made. We're going to serve somebody, Bob Dylan said. And it's either going to be the world or it's going to be God. It's either going to be little gods or the big God. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. I think God's reminding us that there's a clarion call in all of our life to serve the Lord. Next verse, verse 15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you. Now, family, you have to understand, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He's talking to the nation of Israel that he led into the promised land. And they have a covenant God. They're to be covenant people, and they're to keep that covenant. Golden nugget. Whenever I can't remain in the promised land and live a life of compromise, I can't live in the land of promise and live a life of compromise, conceding to the culture of the day. I can't be a Christian and fit into the culture today. I can't be a Christian and fit into the culture today. And when I compromise to the culture, I forfeit the promises God made to me and mine. When I compromise, I forfeit the promises God's made to me and mine. He keeps his covenant if I keep my part of the covenant. Every promise has a premise. Every promise has a premise. Every promise has a condition. Y'all still with me, everybody? So notice that these so-called believers, Christ followers, the nation of Israel, the believers, they're following Joshua. He says, some of you, it's undesirable to serve the Lord. What's happened? They've got lukewarm. They've got lukewarm. And you know, Jesus said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. God doesn't want people with one foot in the church and one foot in the world. They're distasteful to him. He said, I will vomit you up. I'd rather you be all in for the world or all in for God, but not half choice, not half-heartedly. I got to be all in to win it. I got to be all in it to win it. Same thing with God. I've got to be all in to experience all of his blessings. I got to be all in to experience all of his blessings. Am I connecting today? So if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose the power and privilege of choice. God doesn't make us serve him. Then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. We're going to either serve little gods or the big God. We're either going to serve the world or God's word. But choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living right now. Look at this. He makes a public declaration. It's time to go public with my walk with God. He says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Notice he's saying here that the head of the home is to be in spiritual leadership. Mom, dad, single parent. If you're the head of the house, the head of the home as a parent, you're to take on spiritual leadership. Are you all hearing your pastor? You're to take on spiritual leadership, a spiritual role, responsibility, and privilege. And notice the choices that you make will affect the choices of your children and those in your family. The good news that I love about this is that, yes, our decision as parents, our choices as parents can and will influence our children. Oh, don't let the devil lie to you. Notice he said, as for me and my household, claim the promises for your household. As for me and my household, we, he'll lead the way, mom and dad lead the way, spiritual leadership, lead the way, and we will serve the Lord. So notice your decisions do matter, mom and dad. Your choices do matter. The choice you make determines the course of your family. Your choices influence your children. Your choices influence your children. You have the power and privilege of choice, which is the power and privilege of influence. So he says, but as for me and my house, he says, some of you, you wanted to serve the Lord, but over these last years, COVID, you've allowed things to attach themselves to you, and you've lost your fire. You've lost your drive. You've lost your first love. And he's talking to them. He said, now, some of you, you don't want to serve God. Family, do you know most of the people on the planet don't want to serve God? Do you know most human beings don't have time for God? They don't want God. They don't want God's will for their life. Pastor, where's that at? John 3, verse 19. John 3, 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life, right? Verse 19 says, the light came into the world, but the world loved darkness more than light. The world loved darkness more than light. So most people don't want God, don't want church, don't want to serve God, don't want the will of God. But Joshua did. And Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to draw a line in the sand, and we're going to serve the Lord in this generation. Can we give God a big praise? Next verse, verse 16. Then the people answered and said, far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. They're accepting the challenge. Verse 17, it was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. Notice they're remembering and recalling and reflecting all that God did for them in the past. He protected us on our entire journey among all the nations through which we traveled. Verse 18, and the Lord drove out before all of us the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too, notice that the leader's decision affected theirs. The leader's choice affected theirs. And it says, we too will serve the Lord because he is our God. Notice, if he is really our God, we want to serve him. We don't have to. We get to. We don't have to. We get to. We have a heart that's willing and obedient. We want to serve him. We want to pay him back out of service, right? We can't serve our way to heaven, but because of the goodness of the Lord, we just want to do good back to him. So notice that the decision, the choice that Joshua made for him, it affected his family and the families of those he was leading. Your choices do count. Your decisions do matter, and they do make a difference, and they influence your family and other families around you. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the verses there, but the next verse says, Joshua says back to them, it says, no, you won't. Says what? Pastor, he just challenged them to serve the Lord, them and their family, and they accepted it. That's right. But then Joshua, in verse 19, says, but you won't serve the Lord. Now, what was he saying? He wasn't trying to put them down, but he's trying to get them to realize we can't do this in our own power. We can't stand up and be strong and speak forth in the hour that you and I live in, where a culture's gone crazy, a world that's gone crazy through COVID. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I need the power of the Word of God. You and I need the power of right fellowship and friends, because on our own, we may want to stand up. We may want to serve the Lord in a culture that's gone crazy, but without the anointing, without God's help, without God's grace, it's unable for us to do that. Can we thank God for the anointing? All right, so let's continue. 1 Samuel 12, 24, what does it mean to serve the Lord? Joshua stood up and said, as for me and my house, we're going to be different. We're going to draw a line in the sand. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to forfeit our future through concession and compromise to a culture gone crazy. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Scripture interprets Scripture. Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with half of your heart. All of your heart. I got to be all in it to win it. The same thing. I've got to give God my all if I want His all for my life. For consider how great are the things God has done for you. To serve Him means to fear Him. That means to revere Him. That means to worship and praise Him. That means to honor Him with the first day of the week, like y'all are doing. With the first part of your income, like you just did. With the first part of every day through reading the Bible, 1 year Bible. Everybody at Church on the Rock reads the 1 year Bible. Amen. All right, so this scripture lets us know what serving the Lord looks like. Let's go back to this, the power of choice. Can you see that with me? The power of choice. God doesn't force us to serve Him. God gives us the choice to choose Him or the world. Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Next verse. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways. How do we serve Him? To love Him, to obey His ways, keep the word, keep the ordinances. Then you will live. You'll multiply. Notice the blessing of commitment, the blessing of our standard for life on the Word of God. Then you'll live, multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you go in to possess. Next verse, verse 17. But if your mind and heart turn away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, putting other things before God. Verse 18, I declare to you today that you will surely perish. You'll not live long in the land. You pass over Jordan to enter it and possess it. Notice, I can't live in the land of promise and compromise and cave in to the world. I can't remain under the blessing and favor of God and give God only half of my heart. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Therefore, look at this, it's our choice. Therefore, you choose life that you and your family may live long. The power of choice. God doesn't force us to go to church, read our Bible, pay our tithe, serve on a serving team. God doesn't force us to do anything. God gives us the power and privilege of choice. But I encourage you, now is the time to rise up as believers. Now is the time as the heads of your home to make a difference, to stand up and not only say to those around you that as for you and your house, you're going to serve the Lord, make a declaration publicly that that's who you are and you are not ashamed of the gospel. Can we have a praise break? Come on, give the Lord a good praise. Five ways to serve the Lord. Let me give you very practical ways. What does it look like to serve God? That's what he said. Either you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. You're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world. You're going to be hot or cold or lukewarm. What is your choice? You're going to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. It's your choice, the power of choice. So he said, as for me and my house, I want to make it known, Joshua said, to those that he was leading, we're going to serve the Lord, not little gods that tried to attach itself to them while they were on their journey. Little gods, little habits in the last 2 years of COVID that's tried to detour us from our destiny, get us off track, break our focus, challenge our priorities. Five ways to serve God. Number one, by fearing the Lord. By fearing the Lord. And when we say fear, We're not talking about scare. When we say fear, we're talking about what y'all are doing right now. Reverence him. Honor him. Be in awe of him. Give him praise and give him worship and give him adoration. The verse for that I have is right below it, guys. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord, that's the first rung on the ladder. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want you to be a fool. I want us to be wise and make the right choices. And notice that the fear of the Lord, that's one of the ways that we serve him and live for him. You know, I'm thinking of Solomon. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes when he was backslidden, Solomon. And at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, the conclusion is this, the bottom line, the reason for being here is to fear God. That's number one. Amen, everybody? The fear of the Lord, I tell you what, when you and I make the right decision, it affects all of our other decisions. When we make the right choice, it affects all of our other choices. When we say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, that decision has influenced all the other decisions we will make. That choice will influence all the other choices that we make. So the first way we serve the Lord is by fearing the Lord, which is the beginning, the very beginning of knowledge. Number two, how do we serve God? By being faithful to God. Faithfulness. The Bible says, who can find a faithful person? They're rare, aren't they? The Bible says in the last day, people will be breaking their truce. Covenant breakers won't keep their word, unfaithful. Faithful to God, even when I don't feel like being faithful, I make it a quality decision that I serve the Lord through my faithfulness. What's he going to say to you and me when we stand before him in heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Somebody said that faithfulness is the road to promotion. Faithfulness is the road to promotion. If I'm not faithful where I'm at, God won't promote me to the next step. Faithfulness is the road to favor. Look at the verse for this, 2 Chronicles 16, 9. Look at this verse, outstanding. For the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout all of St. Louis to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Henceforth, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Notice God's looking. God's looking. God's searching. His eyes are going to and fro. God's got eyes. And his eyes are going to and fro. And he's looking for one that is faithful. I think he's found him in you. Right? One who's faithful. You said, no, Pastor, one whose heart is perfect towards him. Well, in my Bible, I have a cross-reference, and you go to the middle column, and there's a number there. And for the word perfect in my Bible, it's the word faithful. God is looking for faithful people that will give their word and keep their word. That faithfulness is a mark of maturity. Faithfulness is a mark of maturity. So the second way you and I serve the Lord is through faithfulness. Faithfulness. Number three. Third way we serve the Lord is by focusing on God. Focusing on God. Can you say that with me? Focusing on God. Don't you love all the points up on the screen there in the back for y'all? Isn't that cool? Focusing on God. Now, let me help somebody here today. I've heard this down through the years. Pastor, God seems so far away. Pastor, through COVID, my routine, my ritual, my habits have been jacked up. And Pastor, he just seems so far away. Do you know how you get God closer? By thinking about him more often. The more God is in your thoughts, the nearer he becomes. The more God is on your mind, the closer he is to you in your presence. So you and I want to fill up our thoughts throughout the day, not of worry and fear and fretting, and compromise and conceding and giving up to pressure, but we want to fill our mind full of thoughts about God. Set your mind on things that are above. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm, those whose thoughts are on the Lord, He's in their presence. It's all through the book of Psalms. So by focusing on God, God gets bigger and my pressure gets smaller. By focusing on God, God gets closer. God comes closer. Notice we're to worship Him with our mind and our heart. You're to worship Him with your mind, your thoughts, and your heart. So by focusing on God, you get closer to God. God gets closer to you, and you're serving Him by putting Him first, by focusing on Him. Number four, fourth way, as Isaiah comes out, never forget what God has done for you. Never forget what God has done for you. I can't quit serving God. When I think of His goodness and what He's done for me, isn't that an old song? Got to shout, 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 clap, 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 run, run. When I think of His goodness and 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 what He's done for me, I got to jump, got to shout, got to run, right? You know, if I'll never forget what God's done for me, I'll stay ablaze in my service for Him. I want to serve Him. I want to make a difference in my family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You can change your house. You are influencing your children and your children's children. You are making a difference with your convictions, your choices, your decisions, by never forgetting what God's done for you. Do y'all remember back there when Joshua was challenging them? Remember they were talking about how this is the God that took your parents out of Egypt. This is the God that helped us in our journey. This is the God that helped us defeat Jericho. Remember, He was reminding them. How do you serve God? I forgot. Number one is by, wow, fearing the Lord, reverencing God, putting Him first on the first day of the week, putting Him first in the first part of my day, giving Him the first part of my income, making Him first before I make a decision. Number two, how do I serve the Lord? Faithfulness. Even when I don't feel like being faithful, faithfulness is the road to promotion. Number three, wow, focusing on God, putting God on your mind, thinking about His nature and His character brings Him closer to you. Number four, by never forgetting what God has done for you. And number five ways to serve God, by fulfilling His purpose for your life. By fulfilling His purpose for your life, that's how you serve Him. I said to you earlier, not everybody wants to do the will of God. Not everybody wants to know the will of God. Not everybody wants to know God. Not everybody wants to serve God. But you and I have to make the decision, we're going to be different. We're not going to concede or compromise or cave in. That our future and eternity and our children's children eternity depends upon the choices and the decisions we're making right now. Fulfill His purpose for your life. Scripture for that is Acts 13:36. Talking about David, I want this should the Lord tarry on my tombstone. This should be on all of our tombstones. This should be our eulogy. This should be our epitaph. This should be what we did with the dash. You know what I mean? On the gravestone, isn't it born a certain day? Then there's a dash, dies a certain day. Question is, what are you doing with your dash? For David, after he served, there it is, served. For David, King David, after he had served God's will and God's purpose in his own generation, then he died and was buried among his forefathers. And he did see corruption undergo a perfection and dissolution of the grave. Notice, he served God's purpose in his own generation. God has you and me in this generation for His purpose and His plan and His will. And you and I are not mistakes. We're not misfits. We're here on purpose, for a purpose. God wanted you in this generation. And you and I, the best way we can serve Him is to find out His will, follow His will, and fulfill His will for our life. And then, and not until then, Does God want to take you home? Amen, somebody? Come on, let's give God a big praise. Now, let me give you some takeaways, okay? Some takeaways. I don't have it on the screen in the first service, but let me give you some takeaways, practical stuff. Number one, it's time to make the decision. It's time to make your decision. The guys have got it now. They're awesome. Make your decision. Indecision creates depression. Indecision creates depression. Indecision creates procrastination. Make your decision. Number two, declare that decision publicly. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power unto salvation. Declare that decision. We were listening last night when we were working out to a podcast of the football coach of Clemson, South Carolina Tigers. And that coach is born again, spirit-filled, full of the Word of God. And we were listening to him talk about his confession, his decision, his profession, and how he's not ashamed of the gospel. And by the time that coach of the Clemson Tigers, by the time he got done talking about his walk with God, it fired us up. I want to get born again, again. You know what I'm talking about? His stand, his courage, his conviction. It was compelling. Declare that decision. Number three, ask God for help. Y'all remember Joshua said, that's good, you accept my challenge, but you can't do it. And what was he saying? We can't do it on our own. We need the anointing. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need God's help. Ask God for help to stand, be strong, and speak forth. Number four, takeaway. Feed our spirit daily. Feed our spirit daily. That's why everybody at Church on the Rock, this year we're reading together the one-year Bible. The Bible is spirit food. Watch this now. When you read the Bible, you receive God's strength on the inside and God's might on the outside. There's a difference. You receive God's strength on the inside and God's might on the outside. Feed your spirit daily. Take away. And number five, fellowship with those of like precious faith. Fellowship with people that have your convictions, that have your values, that have your philosophy, that made their standard the Word, not the world. They've made their standard the Word, not the world. That we draw strength from one another. It's so important. That's why small groups, that's why church, that's why spiritual community is huge in the days to come, because we'll feed off each other's spirit and we'll go stronger together. Fellowship with those of like precious faith. I'm done. Did I help anybody today? Come on, let's give the Lord a praise for the Word. Amen, amen. Wow, y'all are so awesome. This is going to be the best year of your life. Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to be the best year for your family. Oh, because as for you and your house, you're going to... Oh, I got it. Would y'all stand with me, please? No one leaving? Would you bow your heads, please? Those of you online right now, we love you. We thank God for you. We pray for you every day. But you're watching and you say, Pastor, I don't know God. I don't have God in my life. And I realize I need God. I've got problems. I need help. And let me just tell you that that's what we're doing here at Church on the Rock. We're pointing you to God because He's the only one that can really help you. And He loves you and He's for you. God is for you, not against you. And you'd say, Pastor, you might be in this situation. I'm a born-again believer, but Pastor, little gods have attached themselves to me during COVID. Things have happened, picked up habits. I didn't want it. I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. I want to reset my decision, reset my confession, reset my profession. I want to reset my walk with God today. Pray for me. If that's you, punch the button on your smartphone, your computer. Faith is an act. Last weekend, we had a record decisions on our online campus. Never before that many people came to Christ. Oh, that's awesome, isn't it? On our online. But with heads bowed and eyes closed here in the building, you'd say, Pastor, God's speaking to me. I came here today looking for help. I found it. You told me God can help me. God wants to help me. God is for me. He's not against me. Pastor, pray for me. I want God in my life. I want God to fill the void, the vacuum. I need him today. Or Pastor, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. But just like those people following Joshua, little gods, little habits, things of the world, little thoughts, attributes, actions of the world have jumped on me. I want to get rid of them because I want to live in the land of promise. I don't want to live a life of compromise, conceding, or caving into the culture. I want to reboot. I want to reset my life today for God. Pastor, pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's going to come to you, but this is a decision right now. Pastor, pray for me. Lift your hand, would you, high? Wave it at me in every section. God bless you. Christians are praying. Hands are going up. God bless you so much. Most powerful decision you'll ever make. You all can put your hands down. Let's all pray, church. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can look up. Let's celebrate as Mark comes.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.